Open your Bibles, if you would, to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. I love the book of Jonah. Love the book. But I'll tell you, Jonah, the story of Jonah has a special place. The Lord used it in the ministry that He's allowed me to be a part of through the years. And it's just an amazing little book. Little four chapters, just packed full of stuff. Amen. Jonah chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going into Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. So here we see Nineveh get right. That's the rest of chapter number 3. And I want to look at a few things tonight, by the grace of God. In chapter number 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with him unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He was willing to pay that fare to go from the presence of the Lord. And we've talked about this before. There's a price for being disobedient. There's a price for running from God. At that time, Jonah was willing in his mind to pay that price. He was willing to pay a price to be comfortable. Think about that for a minute. God wanted him to go to preach to this great city, but it made Jonah uncomfortable. You ever been there? God has somebody he wants you to witness to. Maybe somebody you've dealt with before. Maybe somebody that you've had a hard time dealing with. Maybe somebody that you don't particularly care for as a person. Maybe somebody that's in a lifestyle that you don't agree with. Maybe it's somebody that just hasn't been a friend to Christianity at all. And he was willing to disobey God so he could have a little bit of comfort, if you will, at the time. But true peace and comfort and joy comes from being in God's will. Sometimes doing the uncomfortable things is what will actually bring us long-term comfort. Amen. But he was willing to pay a price to be, quote-unquote, comfortable. And when we disobey God, we are going to pay a price for being comfortable in his flesh. It may not be here on this earth, but at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to suffer loss because we chose to be comfortable and to be serving the flesh instead of serving the Savior. He was willing to pay that price. In verses 4 through 12, they ask him who the problem is, what the problem is, how to fix it. And Jonah told them it was him. He was not only willing to pay a price to be comfortable, he was willing to admit that he was the problem. Sometimes that's what we need to do. He didn't point a finger at Nineveh. God said, why didn't you didn't go to Nineveh. He didn't say, well, those people are wicked. He didn't tell the people on the boat, those people are wicked and I didn't want to go over there. He knew what he did was wrong and he took responsibility. He said, I am the problem. Probably at least 2/3 of the time we're having trouble in this world, we are the problem. Amen. We can learn some things from Jonah. Yep. Amen. We like to think we're more like Job, but we're really more like Peter and more like Jonah. We do when we're in our mind, when we're in God's will, we'd rather chop somebody's ear off like Peter than love them like Paul. Yeah, amen. And sometimes we look at our lives and say, boy, we're just like Job. We're going through it. And the truth is, Job was going through it, and he was righteous. Yeah, amen. He was somebody that God looked at and said, he's a perfect and upright man that fears God and escheweth evil. Most of the time, we're in a mess because we're not fearing God and we're not eschewing evil. Amen. You say, well, I don't get into this, that, and the other. Yeah, but if you're not doing what God's called you to do, that's evil. Amen. Disobedience is sin. So he's willing to pay that price to be comfortable for a season. He's willing to admit here in the storm that he's the problem. That's usually the first place I look. Amen. Is me. That's the first place to start. It should be for all of us because we might be wrong. And praise the Lord if we're wrong. It's not us. This time it's not me, Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I thank God that it's not me this time. Amen. But I can go back through a whole list of times where I looked everywhere but me and it was me. It's good when I can start with me and God can clear me. Amen. Sometimes he doesn't clear me. But when he does, praise the Lord. He got me through one without me messing up. Amen. But he's willing to pay a price to be comfortable. He's willing to admit he was a problem. That's where a lot of times we fall short. That's where some people spend their entire saved life, is not willing to admit they're the problem, and they never grow. They never do. We talked a little bit about that Sunday morning, giving people the truth. Telling them, I don't want you to be a bum. Don't be a bum. Get a life. Amen. It's not just get a job. But these kids now, it's get a life. Amen. Well, you don't understand. I had a hangnail, and I couldn't work for 6 weeks. Well, you don't understand until you're bucking hay bales all day long and your hands are bleeding in the palms, amen? And then you get over there to the barn and you got to put them up in the loft, amen? That's the old time complaining, amen? Now it's like, well, something didn't go my way. But the truth is what makes people grow. And that's, he was willing to admit he was a problem. He was willing to say, hey, it was me. And God always tells us the truth.
Right.
Amen. And if you're out of God's will and he's not talking to you, if you read the Bible and pray, he'll show you. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. He'll show you from his word. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17, that book's truth. And he'll give you the truth out of it. Most people don't want the truth, so they'd rather put the book down and just let their life go to hell, even though they're going to heaven because of Jesus Christ. But Jonah was willing to pay a price to be comfortable for a season. And then when he got in a bind, and not only that, he's looking around seeing other people he's bringing down with him. And he's willing to take responsibility and say, it's me. That's a big step. Big step. In 13 through 17, he ends up in the belly of the whale. He was wasting time in bondage due to disobedience. Now, you don't have to raise your hand. I've got it all. I've got everybody's hand raised in my mind, including both mine, amen? But we have all been in that situation. We're just in bondage because of disobedience. And we can go, we can play the game, amen? We can go to church, we can whistle, we can sing the songs, and we can, oh, how I love Jesus, and from our heart, and we can even put a smile on our face. Sometimes, some of you, anyway, amen? Sometimes we can put a smile on our face when really in our heart, we got a big old frown on there because we've been out of God's will so long and we're hurting so bad and we refuse to go the right direction, which is toward our knees and toward him. But Jonah wasted all that time in bondage. He could have just went to Nineveh. Who knows what the Lord had for him down the road? Who knows what he missed out on down the road because he ends up in the belly of the whale, because he ends up in this storm. I don't know how long the storm lasted, but I know one thing. Jonah was not glad he was in the storm. The people in the storm with him weren't glad that Jonah was disobedient to God. Amen. That really hits me as a parent, because us parents, I'm looking at parents in here and grandparents, when we're causing a storm in our own lives, it's affecting our kids, our grandkids, our spouses. Amen. But he was wasting his time in bondage. In chapter number 2, he's willing in these circumstances. Understand that part of it. He's in the storm. He's in the belly of the whale now. He's crying out to God. It says, verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and I heard my voice. He goes on down through there, gets to verse 9. He says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. There's only one way out of that well, and he knew it. Salvation is of the Lord. He was willing in these circumstances to be obedient. He wasn't willing before to be obedient. That's important, because God will put us in circumstances and make us willing to be obedient. Amen. Or maybe I'm the only one, but he does that. That'd make me really special. I don't believe that. I think you're all in the same boat. But he was willing to admit it, and then in those circumstances, he was willing to submit. Now, in chapter number 3, verses 1 through 4, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise. But matter of fact, let's back up and read verse 10 of chapter 3, or chapter 2. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter in the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Then we know Nineveh gets right for a season anyway. So Jonah was willing to pay a price to be comfortable for a season. He was willing to admit in the storm that he was a problem. He was wasting that time in bondage in the storm and in the whale's belly. And then he was willing, under the circumstances of bondage, to submit to the will of God. Outside of the bondage, when he had his own will and he had his freedom, he wasn't willing to. And a lot of times, that's us. But thankfully, in chapter number 3, verses 1 through 4, God was willing to use Jonah again. Aren't you glad God's that way? Oh, man, I don't know how many. We talk about God of second chances. I hope he counts like that. He counts them all as second chances, because I got up to 400 or something, I think, sometimes. But, boy, he's a God of more chances, amen? And if you're still breathing, he's wanting to give you more chances, amen? Or at least one more, amen? But there's something interesting I wanted to talk about. That's all just an introduction. We won't be here much longer, I promise, until we get to the prayer meeting. But something interesting I wanted to look at tonight. In chapter number 1, I want to look at verses 7 through 9. They're in the storm. The men are afraid they're going to perish. And in verse 7 it says, "And they said everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. "Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou?" Now listen to what he says. "And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." He says he fears the Lord now that he's in a storm. But does he really? Did he fear the Lord, or did he fear the repercussions of not serving the Lord? Because here he just ran from the Lord. Matter of fact, the storm's going on. He's down there taking a nap. And they come and wake him up, tell him what's going on. They're all scared to death. They're all crying out to their God. And now they said, "Whose cause is it? Who caused this problem?" "It's me. I fear the Lord." You fear the Lord? See, we say those words sometimes, but we don't really live it. And that's where Jonah was. In chapter number 2, he did fear the Lord, and he submitted to the Lord. You know, the key is in verse 9. The end of verse 9, he says, "Salvation is of the Lord." There's no way out. Absolutely no, humanly impossible for him to get out of that situation. And that's where God put him. And then he started to fear the Lord. Really fear the Lord, not just give it lip service. Because then he said, "If I want out of here, it's up to God, not up to me." It was up to him whether he went to the ship to Tarshish or whether he went to Nineveh. Now it's not up to him. It's all up to God. Is he going to keep him in that whale's belly? Is he done? Or is God going to turn him loose? So now he fears God. But the interesting thing about it is, he obeyed God. God allowed him to go to preach to Nineveh, and Nineveh got right. And I think we're guilty of, I know I'm guilty of this. I've preached this so many times out of the book of Jonah. I've preached so many different messages out of this book, but I'm guilty of this one thing. Acting like Jonah got right in the belly of the whale, he didn't. Because in chapter 4, he's complaining because Nineveh got right. You see, God put him in a position where he would fear the Lord and do what the Lord had called him to do. But he never got to the position where his heart was right. You see, he did it out of fear, not out of love. If he would have done it out of the love of God, he wouldn't have had the hatred for Nineveh. Amen. If he would have actually got right in his heart and said, "I love the Lord and I'm going to do what the Lord says to do," he would have loved Nineveh. That's what God's dealing with him about in chapter 4. You remember what he says? He says, "You're all broken up about this gourd," paraphrasing, amen. But he says, why? Matter of fact, let's look at it. Verse 10, it says in chapter 4, "Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" Think about what the Lord's telling him. He said, "Why are you all upset about a gourd? And I'm not supposed to be upset about Nineveh?" God's telling him, "I love Nineveh. I love those people. I want them to get right." Jonah never, as far as we know from this story, Jonah never did get right. He got busy for the Lord, and he started doing stuff for the Lord, but it was out of fear. He never, as far as we can tell from Jonah 1 through 2, 3, and 4, he never got his heart right with God. And you can serve God every day of your life out of just fear. Out of fear God's going to get you, fear you're going to lose a reward, or fear this, or fear that, or fear the other. But until you get to the point where you love the Lord and you're serving Him and you'll do what He calls you to do because you love Him, you will never be able to love people the way God wants you to love people. we will never be able to love people the way God wants us to love people. You know, the Bible says in, what was it, 1 John 4, 16-19, it says, perfect love casteth out fear. If you love God the way He loves you and the way He loves people, and you love people the way God loves people, there won't be any fear. Jonah's problem was he just wanted to be comfortable in the flesh. And he was in love with Jonah. That's a terrible way to end. I don't want to end that way. I want to love God. And if we can learn how to love God like He loves us, or even close to it in that direction, we can learn how to love other people. It'll change this church. Amen. It'll change your witnessing. It'll change your fruit. Amen. And it'll change us for the cause of Christ. It just hit me like a ton of bricks that Jonah never really did get right. You can get busy, but until you get right, you'll never know what God wants to do with your life. And I think Jonah missed out on some great opportunities because he never got right from the heart. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad that God put the book of Jonah in there. There's so much in that book. I love this book. I'm thankful for a Bible. I believe every single word is perfect and pure and important. Amen. These kids are learning these Bible verses in Vacation Bible School. And little Kimber, she knows that what verse. And I think little Harper's getting there. And she's getting pretty close, Scott. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, if you can do it five times and get it the fifth time on Friday, you get tickets for it. Amen. But I'll tell you, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's an important verse. Amen. And they're all important, but I'm telling you, if you're going to win souls, that's a real important verse to know. And I'm glad these kids are learning it. And more than anything, I want them to learn to love Jesus Christ. It'd be great if they just start out loving Him and wouldn't have to go through the Jonah days. Amen. Y'all, if you've ever been through any Jonah days, you know I'm telling the truth, right? It'd just be better for the kids, and what a blessing. What a blessing.